I hope that you were here last week for the message, or at least you listened to it online. Thank you for your encouraging responses. I've been challenged this summer with Matthew 11:29, especially the phrase gentle and lowly, but Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is the only place in Scripture that the Lord speaks to us about his heart, and that he is gentle and lowly. And along with that, we see that we can come to him for rest and to find that comfort. I'd also like to encourage you to pick up a copy of the resource out in the lobby. It's written by Al Netlingham, and it is a brief checklist for spiritual cardiac self-examination. And maybe you've picked it up in the past. If you haven't, again, copies in the library, and please check it out. So we're opening in our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, and that's on page 947 of the Black Pew Bible. Last week, we talked about some of the bad and ugly of COVID, and today we want to take a look at how the Scriptures tell us to live. We want to be moving forward in Christ individually and as a church. This is how we lived prior to COVID. This is how we live during and after a global pandemic. What does the Lord expect of us? What does the Lord expect of me as an individual, and what does the Lord expect of us as a church? The family of God. We are the spiritual building not made with hands. We are the bride of Christ, and how do we conduct ourselves as the body of Christ? How do we move forward as Lakes, the church of Christ? Lord willing, we'll begin here today in Romans 12 and finish next Sunday. Will you join me in standing? Follow along as I begin reading Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. The ESV Study Bible says of Romans 12 that this is God's righteousness in everyday life. In other words, this is how we as Christ followers flesh out the righteousness of God. The ESV Study Bible goes on to say, the gift of God's saving righteousness leads to a new life. So we would expect in Romans 12 to find some very practical help for our everyday living, and that's exactly what we find. This is how we live as Christ followers. Now look at verse 1 and see the word you. Look at verse 5 and see the word we. Who is Paul addressing here? Directly, he is writing to the church in Rome. But praise the Lord, through divine inspiration, the Holy Spirit is using Paul to communicate a message to us today, 2,000 years later. So, Father, open the eyes of our understanding. Help us to see what Paul wrote as instruction from you to them and to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We hear the phrase around lakes, worship, grow, serve. And this is where it comes from. It comes from Romans chapter 12. So we see here our spiritual worship. And let's consider the interrogatives. The interrogatives regarding our spiritual worship, the who. The word brothers is plural, and even though we see the word bodies, we each only get one. Brothers is plural, just one body each, and this is all of us if you are a Christ follower. If you're not a Christ follower, your need is to be saved. The what? We are to present our bodies. The word present means to place at someone else's disposal. I don't know if you know, Ann's Jeep died back in May. We had it towed to the dealership, and it has been sitting there since the third week in May. We have gotten very little help from the dealer. We have gotten no help from Chrysler or Jeep, and the Jeep is sitting there. We have a lifetime bumper-to-bumper warranty, which is apparently doing us no good. So for a long time, a couple months, we had one car. This is the Motor City, and we're used to two cars. And so Ron Moore hadn't retired yet, and he bought a vehicle in anticipation of his retirement. So Ron says, listen, you can use my car. He put his car at our disposal. We could use it however we wanted. He put his car at our disposal. That's what we do. We put our body, we each have one, and all of us present our body to the Lord. We place our body, our life, at his disposal, and he can use it however he wants. And the question is, are you putting your body, your life, at God's disposal so that he can use it however he will? This isn't just for today, for tomorrow, or the next day. We put our life at God's disposal. We may have to suffer, and we're all eventually going to die. But we put our body, our life, at God's disposal. The next question is how? How in the world can we do this? Well, that's the point. This isn't something of the world. We don't go to the world to find how to use our life. This is supernatural. It requires divine intervention. And the divine intervention we see here is mercy, the mercy of God, God's goodness. Now, we're inclined to think of mercy as that which we receive from God at our salvation. We would think, as we look at this, that Paul would have used a different theological word, like maybe grace. This is by the grace of God. But he uses the word mercy, a word we connect with salvation. And it's intentional here because of this. Because of God's mercy to me, he saved me. I give my life back to him as a spiritual act of worship. So that's why we say, if you're not saved, if you've never been born again, you don't know the mercy of God, God's salvation. But because of God's mercy, we present our body back. I'm sure this includes grace. I know it does. I know it includes James 1:5, wisdom. The next question is why? And we're told that this is holy, which again gives us just a moment's pause. Why is this holy? Because we know that holiness is of God. The word holy points us to that which is consistent with who God is. And presenting ourselves back to God by His mercy is holy. We're setting ourselves apart, but this is acceptable to God. This makes us God-like in giving ourselves, as Jesus did for us. So we give ourselves back to the Lord. It's the right thing to do. We're not going to ask the question where, but when. Well, I guess that should be obvious, because the when, well, now seems like a good time. This is our worship. And dear ones, don't miss this. This is our worship. This is how we worship the Lord. Now notice the disclaimer in verse 2. Do not be conformed. Do not be conformed to what the world says, to what the world thinks, or what the world does, because that is not acceptable. And the media just bombards us. This is how we're supposed to think. This is what we're supposed to say. This is what we're supposed to do. And our kids get it at school. This is what you think. This is what you say. This is what you do. And the Holy Spirit says to us, don't be conformed to the world. Rather, do what is acceptable. And that's where the word but comes in contrast to standing against what the world says, thinks, and does. We are being transformed. We are being renewed. And because we've given ourselves as an act of worship, now we are being transformed, renewed, and this is our spiritual growth. We're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is our spiritual growth. There's discernment here. We can discern. This is a spiritual look at what the Lord has done in us. We're putting ourselves at God's disposal. This is what the world says and does. This is what we say and do. Leave a finger in Romans 12, please, and turn over to Philippians chapter 3. And Philippians 3 is on page number 981 of the Black Pew Bible. Philippians 3, page number 981 of the Black Pew Bible. We're considering this morning lakes moving forward. Where do we go from here? It's the fall and I know it's not New Year's, but a new year beginning. You know, when Stephen graduated from high school, I thought, wow, this is going to be really strange because now we're not tied to the school calendar anymore. We are. And part of why we are is because you are. You have kids in school, and the world revolves around September to May. Well, Michigan messed up again. August to June. The world revolves around the school calendar. But we're moving forward, and this is not one of us. This isn't even some of us. This is all of us. And Paul gives us some insight. Look what he says, these familiar verses, Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Think about the connection between Philippians 3 and Romans 12. And last week, the message last week, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And look at verse 17 and think about last week. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Actually, think back 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, the sending off of David and Diane, verse 17, brothers, 2 Timothy 2:2, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Here's Paul. Here's Timothy. Timothy, teach faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Let me do that differently. This isn't moving down. This is moving from Paul to Timothy training people who will train people. Timothy, you follow me. That's 1 Corinthians 11. You follow me. Others will follow you, and others will follow them. We're all following the same thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying to us here. So let's move on. Let's consider our new life in Christ. And this is back in Romans chapter 12, because Paul describes our new life in Christ. And he calls us to an honest assessment, an honest assessment. This requires humility. We look at ourselves in all humility, with a sober judgment, he says. This isn't flippant. This isn't trivial. We need to invest some time and energy into this humble assessment. We need to remember the Lord has invested into us. And what has he invested into us? He has measured out faith to us. And so there is an evaluation of where we fit into the body. We are part of the whole. All of us are part of the whole. And there are some of us who are inclined to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And that's why Paul says we approach this with all humility. And there are some of us who think that we're insignificant. We don't fit. I don't belong. I'm different than everyone else. And whether you're inclined to pride, or inclined to think of yourself as insignificant, the Lord says, listen, there is an honest, a humble assessment, and we all fit into the body. No one is insignificant, and no one is the sun that we orbit around. And he uses the word function. We all have different functions, and our function is connected to the rest of the body. Where do you fit into the body? How does your function serve the whole? And this directs us toward a holy hesitation. We are one body in Christ. We are one family of God. We are one spiritual building not made with hands. We are one bride of Christ. And this is crucial to our understanding because our service is not to one another. Our service is to the Lord. We serve the Lord by serving each other. Our function in serving one another is to serve the Lord. Now, I don't know if many of you noticed, but about 3 weeks ago, we got new thermostats. There's one in my office, there's one right back there, and there's one in the classroom right over here by the ladies' lounge. And Daryl and Bill Nicholas aren't in this service, so I can say this. I don't like the new thermostats. I liked the old ones because I knew how to work the old ones. I don't know how to work these. But listen, those two thermostats are exactly the same as that thermostat, but that thermostat controls the air conditioner that's right up there. And that unit is different than the other two units. And when that thermostat was installed, it did something to that air conditioner. So last week, the air conditioning wasn't working properly. Fortunately, it wasn't a blistering hot day that you probably really didn't notice. But it has been hot this summer. And so there were three guys here to work on the air conditioner this week. Climbed up on the roof. They didn't want to. It was a hot day. Going to be in the sun. They climbed up there and fixed the air conditioner. But they climbed up, climbed down, went and got a part, came back, climbed up. I don't know if you know how to get up on the roof. There's a tiny little ladder attached to the back wall. And if you're older than sixth grade, you're too big to go up that ladder. They went up the ladder the second time and fixed the air conditioner. Now, who did they do that for? You could say, us. And they did, but they didn't. They did it for Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and laying up treasures in heaven. You know what? You can thank the Lord that you didn't need me to fix the air conditioner. Because I couldn't do it. I could find it. I could probably get the cover off. But after that, I'm grateful that's not my function. But praise the Lord. And did they fix the air conditioner for us or for the Lord? And the answer is yep. And praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for humble servants who serve you by fixing the air conditioner. And praise the Lord for humble servants who grill hamburgers and cook hot dogs when we have a church picnic. And thank you for humble servants who clean our building. Things we don't even think about. We just eat the hamburger. We just come in and see a clean building. We just come in and sit here comfortably because there's an air conditioner. Now consider there are four key words. In verse 6, it's the word proportion. And the word proportion is connected to faith. And just think about this. Think of the parable of the talents. One talent, three talents, five talents. And what has God put into your hand? One talent, three talents, five talents, and how are you using that talent to serve us and serve the Lord? In other words, are you using the faith that God has given you to serve the Lord? Are you using the faith that God has given you to serve us? Look at verse 8, the word generosity. I serve the Lord with abundance. I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to leave it all on the field. I will give the Lord and His church my all. I'm going to give with generosity. And notice the end of verse 8, the word cheerfulness. Yikes! Are you kidding me? The Lord expects for me to use my faith proportionately, generously, serving you. And I have to be cheerful about it. I have to give my all and be happy about it. So look at verses 4 and verse 6, because this sounds a little bit funny, but you'll get the point. We cannot be stingy with our function. All of us function within the body. We function according to the proportion of our faith. We function generously, using our gifts and abilities, using it well, being cheerful about it. Now, there is another word. It's there in verse 8. It's the word zeal. But I want to tell you about two servants of the Lord who had a huge impact on my family. When Ann and I moved to New Buffalo, Michigan, she was expecting Dan. We moved there in the fall of 1985. Dan was born in March of 1986. And I think the second Sunday that Dan was born, we went to church and we took him during Sunday school to the church nursery. And I'll tell you who was there. Her name was Wanda Gifford, and along with her was Pat Polson. And they took Dan. They loved him. They cared for him. A couple years later, we brought Joshua to them. A couple years later, we brought Stephen to them. And those two ladies loved our boys. Sundays that we were running late, they fed our boys. They got our boys dressed. They changed their diapers. They loved our boys, cared for our boys. Every Sunday during Sunday school, those two ladies, the nursery wasn't over here. When you went out the back doors of the auditorium, there was a hallway, and across the hall was the church nursery. And those two women, Wanda and Pat, were in the nursery every Sunday. They never, ever went to Sunday school. During Sunday school, they were in the nursery, and they loved our boys. It was a huge service to Ann. Not just my boys, all the kids of our church. And do you know why Wanda and Pat were in there every morning during Sunday school? So Ann didn't have to be. So Ann could go to Sunday school. Wanda and Pat came to church on Sunday night, and they came to Wednesday Bible study. And they came to church on Sunday night and Wednesday Bible study so they could sit in the nursery on Sunday morning and be a blessing to the young mothers of our church. What an incredible gift. And Lord, we need a Wanda and a Pat. We need some women who will see that their cheerful function can be sitting in our church nursery on a Sunday morning to care for our kids so that moms can go to Sunday school class. And Lord, while we're asking if we could have four, that would be awesome. Hey, Lakes, we need some people who will say, I will go to small group. I will go to Bible study. So I can sit in the nursery on Sunday. We need people who will disciple new converts. We need people to comfort and counsel people who are hurting or struggling, and we need people who will equip people for ministry. Moving forward, Lakes needs teachers and organizers and cleaners and sound booth techs, light bulb changers, nursery toy cleaners, and we need valet car parkers. Last Sunday morning, one of our ladies pulled up her car to the door. Her husband, who can't drive, got out of the car. Men helped him with his walker. He came into church. This woman went and parked her car and then walked up to the building. We used to park cars. We used to park cars so that women who drove to church by themselves didn't have to park their car. We used to park cars so that our older people, and you get to decide if you're older, unless you make the wrong decision, then we'll tell you you are. We need to park their car. There's only two guys in this service, but there's a whole bunch of them in the first service, and I said, I think there's some potential car parkers sitting over here. We need safety team members, and we need people who will help with youth activities. We need encouragers, we need some givers, and look at verse 8. We need some mercy dispensers. And I'm the soccer coach who, if a player gets hurt, drag him off the field, put a sub in, and let's keep the game going. Rub dirt on it, slap some duct tape. You know, we need mercy dispensers. We need people who just see a situation and say, I can help. I can do this. I can come alongside and love and care for. We need people who just ooze mercy. It's been said that Daryl is the pastor who calls us when we're sick, visits us in the hospital, and Don is the guy who yells at us on Sunday morning. You need mercy, you're probably going to get it from Daryl. I'm saying that tongue in cheek. I care. And I say to Daryl, listen, let me have some of the visits. But we need people who will dispense mercy with cheerfulness. And for some of you, mercy comes naturally, and you are my heroes. And when the Lord calls me to be the one dispensing mercy, the Lord says, Don, be cheerful. So, in light of verses 1 and 2, we need to humbly examine our heart. Where are you spiritually? Do you need to repent? do you need to put your life at God's disposal? Used to be, decades ago, that there was a whole night at summer camp devoted to dedication based on Romans 12, 1 and 2. But this isn't a one-time act. You do it when you're at summer camp for the rest of your life. This is a daily sacrifice. Every day, I'm putting my life at God's disposal. He can use it however he wants. We need to evaluate our humility. Is there anything that you are holding on to? I'm too good for this. I'm too big for this. There's someone I won't serve. Or I'm not good enough to serve is the other extreme. They're both wrong. Are you functioning humbly as part of Christ's body? And then I'd like to encourage you this week to go back and read Romans 12, 1 through 8. And then go on and read verse 9 through the end of the chapter for next Sunday. This morning, well, yesterday, Dan and Brittany went out of town, so we ended up with Declan, Holden, and Camden. They spent the night last night, and because of Declan's situation, he has a camera that is over his bed while he sleeps at night, but when he's at our house, we don't have the camera, so Ann or I has to sleep with him in case he has a seizure. Well, since it was Saturday night, and Ann said, you go get a good night's rest, and I'll sleep with Declan, so the two little boys were upstairs in the guest room, and Ann slept with Declan, and I was down in the basement. And so this morning when I woke up, nobody else was up, and I got ready for church, and I left for church about the time everyone else was waking up. And so I don't usually drive to church by myself on Sunday morning, but I was driving down Benstein Road and looking to the east at the sunrise through the trees and coming up over Wolverine Lake, and I just started singing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Amen. God bless you.